8:17 on WMAL. Let's check in on the latest with our swimmers who have finally, all of them, it appears, been allowed to leave the country of Brazil. Danny Savalos is a CNN legal analyst, and thanks for joining us, Danny.
Oh, thanks for having me, and obrigado, as they say in Brazil.
Yeah, and they also say pay up.
That's right.
Explain to me this this story now that we're learning. Jimmy Fagan, he was the last, and for the local listeners here in the Washington area, you should know that Mr. Conger has been able to leave. He's actually arrived. He's landed in
Miami at
this point.
At about 6:30.
And he's probably on his way to Dulles now, or maybe BWI, depending on what flight he's taking. Jimmy Fagan was the last swimmer left out of these four, and now he's been allowed to leave, but only if he makes a $11,000 donation. Explain this to me. Is this the equivalent of community service in Brazil?
Well, we have a word for it here in the States. We call it restitution, and it's not unheard of in a case, whether in juvenile court or adult court, for the judge and the prosecutor and the parties to agree for some sort of diversionary program or a delayed prosecution or deferred prosecution where somebody goes to probation, does community service, or pays restitution. So this is not unheard of. I mean, donating to a charity isn't really very normal in the States, but it's certainly the concept, the principle is really the same thing. We have the same thing here in the United States, so it's really not that different of a procedure, although it can feel like it's just you're extracting money instead of somebody sort of serving their time or doing their punishment. But we've been doing that in the U.S. for a long, long time, so it's really not that alien at all.
All right, so look, none of this, we have to point out, would have happened, apparently, if the athletes had not acted badly to begin with. But there is the question about what happened at that gas station where a guard walks over and pulls a weapon and stops them and holds them and puts them on the ground, and then they are not allowed to leave, and apparently there's also a Rio de Janeiro police officer there as well, in addition to the security guard, and they are not allowed to leave until they cough up money. I'm sitting here thinking that if something like that happened in the District of Columbia or an American city, that police officer would be under investigation. But in Brazil, this is like, well, that's just the way things work.
Well, it is. I mean, apparently that's, and nothing was more evident of that fact than yesterday's press conference by the Brazilian authorities, where they said in the first breath, unequivocally, there has been no robbery. And then in the next breath, strangely said, however, it's entirely possible that instead, somebody may have demanded money of these young men and pointed a gun at them. And I can't help but think, isn't that, I haven't been around forever, but I'm pretty sure that's a robbery, right? I mean, that's what we call it. And you hit on another point, too, which is that's never been the way law enforcement has worked. They certainly don't pull their gun here in the States and demand that you pay back whatever you shoplifted or whatever you smashed or whatever you broke.
That would be equivalent. That would be equivalent to in the United States of a trooper pulling you over for speeding on the interstate highway, and they say, "Well, you know what? We can just pay me the money for that you'd have to pay, and you can go on your way." That would be the same thing.
But let me add too that you were talking about law enforcement. It may be that this was a security guard who was armed, who was not a law enforcement officer. So I think that really, I mean, we don't allow, it's even worse than that, we don't allow in the States private citizens. If I think you owe me $20, I can sue you. I can't show up at your house with a Remington. I can't point a gun in your face and demand my $20. Yeah. And when people do that, the reason I know that is when people do that in the States, not only is that not a defense, but if you're using a firearm, you're usually looking at a mandatory minimum, just about in any state you're in.
So now, I think a lot of people are now questioning, the last question I think that needs to be answered about this is, what is the fate of these swimmers? I mean, Ryan Lochte is already 31 years old. I don't think he's got another Olympics in him. Some would argue whether he should have even gone to these Olympics. But our local hero, Jack Conger from Rockville, Maryland, right up the street here from WMAL, he could go back to the Olympics. Has the Olympics committee, has the U.S. swim team, have they made any statements about this? Is there any concern that because of this one incident, perhaps Mr. Conger will not be allowed to swim again, because that really would be a tragedy?
You know, at this point, this story is so fluid, it really is changing by the minute. You remember yesterday, there were new videos coming out as if some video dungeon master was back there releasing them at intermittent moments.
It's true.
We had no idea when these were coming out. So, you know, who knows what committees like the IOC and United States Swimming, they're private sort of institutions. They can make their rules and do what they want. So they're going to have to make a very political decision. And I think they're going to look very closely at whether there's probable cause of who did what. And, you know, look, if they pin everything on Lochte and these guys were just dummies along for the ride, they might give him a pass. But yeah. This is an interesting time for them because criminal defense is a different thing when you add the layer of a high-profile client. It's a totally different game. Someone who is not high-profile has more options available to them than somebody who's in the news. For example, you know, in criminal defense, you never come out and give a statement admitting that you did anything. And yet, from a financial perspective, endorsements and whatnot, it might be to their advantage to come out and say something. So it's really a very difficult position they find themselves in.
Well, as I'll tell you, I think that given Lochte's track record, for the other three swimmers to say, you know, this was all Ryan Lochte and we were just along for the ride is probably a pretty sound argument. Oh, you know what? I did want to ask you one last thing, Danny Savalas, if I could. We're told that the two swimmers who were taken off the airplane, their passports revoked, were taken to the police station, and they had to undergo 4 hours of questioning on this. Do we have any indication as to whether they had legal representation during those 4 hours of interrogation?
I don't know if they did or didn't, but, typically the State Department will help an American arrested abroad in finding a lawyer. What they will not do is land the Black Hawk helicopters on the jail and extract you from wherever you were dumb enough to get arrested.
That is, if the State Department got alerted in time. That's the question.
Right, didn't wait for 13
typically
hours.
Typically, they will assist. So I don't know if they actually had representation. I mean, that would be ideal. But, you know, Brazil's system just isn't the same as ours. It's a little, and this is a legal term, it's a little loosey-goosey when it comes
that
to
That is one thing that we have protections. All learned here. All right, Danny Savalas, CNN legal analyst, thanks for joining us this morning on this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.